Okay, well, hi people, everyone. This is Matt Stevens in Abu Dhabi, and we're having a session on learning together, which is today about podcasts, a presentation that Evelyn Izquierdo and Miguel Mendoza gave in Dallas, Texas, last March. Right now, this is April 21st, 2013, and we have Evelyn with us today. And Claire Braden-Siskin has just joined us. We have Cynthia Costa from Belém in the chat. Claire is from, she's in the Pittsburgh area. And there's Evelyn and I here as well. Evelyn is in Maracaibo in Venezuela. And before we get started, I'd just like to say that I asked Evelyn some time ago when she first started doing this session to please come and give it to us, because the podcast session was one of my favorite EVO sessions, Electronic Village Online sessions, and I learned some things from it. Back at the time, I didn't really know how to set up tabs in Blogger, but that was new at the time when they started, and then they had all kinds of useful advice about making your Blogger blog a podcast. So I thought that was pretty cool. And also, I'd like to welcome Phil Cousins in Macau, who's also joined us. So, Evelyn, welcome, and nice to see you here.
Thank you very much, Dan. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Evelyn Izquierdo speaking from Caracas, Venezuela, not from Maracaibo. This is a presentation.
How did I get that idea? I don't know.
That is because Doris Molera is from Maracaibo. She lives in Maracaibo. But Miguel and I live in can you hear me? Yeah?
In Caracas, yeah. You're living in Caracas.
Oh.
Okay. Good. Good.
Okay. So I was telling you that this is a presentation about podcast web-based recordings and videocasts, dynamic and interactive ways to provide feedback. It is a presentation that Miguel Mendoza and I offered at TESOL 2013 in Dallas, Texas, last March. And it's a kind of summary of what been doing during 3 years at EVO, English, the Electronic Village Online, sorry. And we've been working with podcasting for 3 years in a row, but this presentation is specifically about screencasting and some other ways to provide feedback. And this work, two other colleagues participated. Miguel Mendoza and I are working at Universidad Central de Venezuela, which is Central University of Venezuela. It is located in Caracas, Venezuela. But we also had a participation of Miguel in Paris. He lives in Yaracuy State in Venezuela, too. And Julia Ascension, she lives in Arizona, in the United States. It was a Venezuela team that offered the podcasting session this year. And last year we had another guest with us. Her name was, her name is Yadira Perez. She works at Central, that is ULA, it is Universidad de los Andes in Mérida, Venezuela too. And 2 years ago we had Jose Rodriguez, who lives in California. And it's been a great experience working with podcasting, because we've had people from all around the world, teachers, and not teachers also, because we've had musicians in our courses. Yeah, it's been quite interesting. So this presentation is about that experience we had and how we focused our feedback during the sessions. We offered the session in 2011, 12, and 13, and in the three different opportunities, we've had the possibility of providing feedback to our teachers in different ways. We've been using Jaco groups, we've had Twitter, and we haven't worked with Facebook yet, but we've had several tools, we've used several tools to work with and also to provide feedback. We've created blogs, and in different sessions we've had three different blogs. One blog for the content, all the different objectives and the content we're going to develop. Another one for readings, and the other one for activities, for weekly activities. In this presentation, we're only going to focus on screencasting. And I don't know if you've heard about Russell Sanner, and he's been working with screencasting. He's been doing research on that, and we were inspired in what he's doing. It's quite interesting to see how screencasting can be used in the not only in the classroom, but also with colleagues and different activities we have for teacher training. In this case, screencasting is it's kind of a methodology, not only a technique, but also a methodology we use to provide feedback in the classroom. And what is screencasting? The idea of screencasting is just capture what you see on your screen. It is focused on the activities we do online, what your students or teachers do online, and you create a video based on the screen capture. You can follow up your students' activities, and then you can make corrections on their own work, add in what you think about the activity. You are providing different ideas or just making corrections about what they did, and then once you have the video, you share that video with the students or the teachers if you are a teacher trainer. In this case, in our session, we used screencasting to provide feedback to all those teachers who were taking the podcasting session, the EVO podcasting session. And since we asked them to use different tools, but mainly blogs, we were following them up during the 5 weeks that the session lasted, and then we were providing feedback to those who had accomplished with almost all the different tasks that they had. There are several tools we can use to provide feedback through screencasting, and here we have some main tools. There are web-based tools, there's some software, and some of the tools can be free or they can be paid. And if you see here on the right, let me see if I can use the, well, I gotta use the pointer here. Let me see if I can use this one. Okay. We have Screen-O-Matic. We also have Screener, Yin, and we have other ones, but this one, Camtasia, is quite popular, but it's not free. So there are some other tools you can use, like Screen-O-Matic, and we were using Screen-O-Matic this year and last year too. And we were also using Screener. Jose was using Screener. There's one over here. So there are many possibilities you can use. There are some tools that you can use with Windows, and other ones you can use with Mac. But the most important thing is that, you know, you have a free option, and you also have the paid option. If you have a pro account, of course, it will have more features in the different tools you can use. And we were using web-based tools, but we also use Audacity as a way to record the audio, but in this case we're talking just about screencasting, and these are the ones you can use. There are specific ones for Mac, as I told you before, and on the right you will see some of the tools we can use. Screenbird, for instance, or Screenflow, or those who are familiar with Mac, maybe you are using some of these tools. And Camtasia is also one of the tools that is more popular for Mac users. Then we have the Linux ones for those who are using free software. Here you have some of them. I've never used these ones. Tell you the truth, just the other ones for Windows, because I work with Windows. Now, how can we create screencast for the feedback activity I was telling you about? Well, we can use smartphones, we can use iPads, tablets, and some of them have apps you can download to your device. Some of them are free and others are paid, but you decide the one you want to use, especially if you are living in a country where you cannot pay for the service. Well, you may prefer to use Screener. Screener has a 5-minute recording, and Screen-O-Matic also. In this case, you can use that with mobile devices. And what is screencasting for? Well, screencasting is mainly used for creating tutorials. You may use screencasting to share instructions to your students. Oh, hello, Elizabeth. Thank you for coming. Don't worry, Elizabeth. Have a great day. You may also use tutorials, but not also for your courses, but for your for colleagues, if you want to teach them how to use a specific tool. You may also use screencasting for lectures. And providing feedback, and that's the one we're going to focus on feedback. And we were using screencasting with our workshop participants, and it was quite interesting to see their reactions about that. The workshop was not on screencasting, but they were really curious about what we were doing with it. And Miguel Mendoza created excellent tutorials by using screencast tools. And at the end of the workshop, we were providing feedback to all teachers who had developed their activities on their blogs. And they felt so comfortable with that, and they were really happy to know that we could share their works with other participants through the screencast, and I'm going to tell you how. There were two different ways. You might use a screencasting for providing general feedback. In the case of students, if you are working with a large group, you may create just one video for the whole group. But if you have a small course or a small group of teachers you are training, you may use individual screencasts. In our case, we divided the course or the number of participants, into groups, and we were providing feedback to all of them. Especially those who have finished their activities, not those who were behind. The idea was share with them what we observed in their works, making emphasis on their main tasks or their most important activities, their ideas, those points that we liked the most. And then we shared the feedback in two ways. In previous years, we were adding the screencasting to the blog. But in this case, this year, we were sharing the different screencasts in the JAC group. So it was different this year. And we sent individual videos. Let me move this here. What is the benefit of using screencasting in the classroom? Well, it is very detailed, it's very complete, because you may see what the students are doing, you may comment about what they do, you make corrections, and you're providing not only an oral feedback, but also visual. They can see. You may write on the screen, and you are saving that file as a video, so students can see. Yes, that's right. That is what the flipped classroom do. They create a screencast, and then the students see that at home, and then as soon as they have watched the video or the tutorial or the lecture, they go to their classrooms and discuss and do the activities. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a problem if they don't have that possibility of getting access to internet, but there are other ways you can use this. Screencasting is very engaging. You will see that students can enjoy. I mean, they enjoy what you are doing because they feel that you are talking to them. It's so great to know their reactions. It's like talking to them, but you're just sending them the video. When you were starting, maybe it's quite challenging. But as soon as you learn how to create the first one, you are improving. And you may create one screencast for the whole group, and provide the different details or all things you are observing in their work that is not okay, or just providing a positive feedback. But if you observe there are some groups or some students that need specific feedback, you may create another one for them. And they really appreciate. They're really happy with that because they feel you're paying attention to them, and you're talking to them, and they're not only part of a group. It's quite interesting. In Dallas, one of the participants was talking to the group. In this case, I don't remember her name, but it was another presentation. And the student was telling the audience how she felt just with the audio, not with the screencast. It was another presentation. But she was sharing with the public how great she felt when she heard her teacher's voice, and it was very specific about what the activities she was doing. Now, focusing on podcasting is different. While screencasting is visual and oral, podcasting is only oral, and podcasting is related to the fact of recording voice, creating an MP3 file that can be retrieved in any mobile device nowadays. And in that file, you can provide feedback too. Let me move this. And podcasting is more than recording your voice. In this case, you are retrieving information, you are retrieving classes, and you can take the MP3 file with you in a flash memory. It has several benefits, but when we are using podcasting in the ESL and ESL classroom, we are providing also different opportunities to share not only what you can find on the internet, but also what you do with your students. You can create your own podcast, and that is what we did in our podcasting session. We taught teachers how to create their own podcast, and how to create different activities for the ESL and ESL classroom. Yes, they do fail. And it was quite interesting to see the different projects our workshop participants were doing. It was quite interesting to see the different ways teachers can use podcasting for teaching grammar, for instance. And we thought, well, how come? It's not that easy. But we can combine podcasting with other things like images or videos or different resources. And we may use podcasting not only for listening and speaking, but also for reading and writing or developing other skills. And how to use podcast for feedback? Well, we may create our own podcast by using different tools, as in that's great, Cynthia. Well, here you have other tools. We also had software and web-based tools to create the podcast. If we talk about the software, we could use Audacity. We were using Audacity in the workshop, video workshop. We were also using web-based tools like Podomatic and Chairbit or Audible. And We did several activities for teachers to share, and they were creating podcasts for tongue twisters or audible, for instance, to discover the mystery person. And they were also interviewing some people, and for that voice thread, yeah, but voice thread is not exactly a podcasting tool, but it's great for audio threads, yeah. And I was telling you about the interviews. We were using Skype Recorder, MP3 Skype Recorder. It is great because you can record your Skype conversations. And teachers were inviting some other colleagues. They were interviewing them about a topic related to ESL or EFL. And then they got an MP3 file they had to post online. We were using, yes, in Skype. You have to use Skype and this tool at the same time. You start recording, and if you need to edit it, you can use Audacity to edit the file. You may also upload the MP3 file to Podbean or SoundCloud. You may also do that with other, at Podomatic, for instance. With other tools, you may also upload the file and host the file there, as in Podbean. This is a hosting site, Podbean, and this is one of the hosting sites we used for the podcasting session. And there is GarageBand for Mac users. You may see it right here. Okay. It is right here. Okay. Feedback types when we use podcasting. Well, this is very similar to screencasting in the sense that you may use a podcast for providing general feedback. You may create a podcast for a home group, if you have a large group, or you may send personalized feedback. I'm going to go back and show you Vocaroo, for instance. I forgot to mention Vocaroo. This is the one we can use for, this one over here. Is for, let's see, let me find this one. I don't see it here. Well, you may email your MP3 file. This is great. With Vocaroo, you may create a podcast. You may also share it with your group, with the home group. Oh, thank you. And you may also embed your recording. This is great. I really love it. My students love that too. You may share the URL, and they go there and listen to your podcast. Benefits. Well, benefits are incredibly huge here, because there are many possibilities of using podcasting with our students and teachers, if you are a teacher trainer. When we use podcast, the feedback is very detailed. It's like talking to that person, and you are saying what you really want to say if you have a person in front of you. It's very complete. There are no limits, but the limit of just creating the podcast for everybody. We just recommend not to have long podcasts, just 3-minute podcasts, no more than 5. It must be 3 minutes. Of course, this is focused on the oral part, and it's very engaging because your students think, they feel that you are in front of them explaining your point of view, you are giving them some ideas, you are correcting their work, and they really appreciate that. Now, we're going to provide an example of what we did in our session, in our podcasting session, and this is Andy Keston's blog. It's Andy's blog. And we asked our participants at the EBO session to create a blog, and they had to create 3 pages only on that blog. They had to create an about me page, the other one was for the podcast, and the third one was for the podcast project. The first thing participants do at the beginning of the workshop is creating their own intro podcast. They have to create a podcast, but also they add some jingle at the beginning and at the end. And on the following week, they have to create different podcasts by different the different. I'm sorry, by using the different tools I was telling you about before. And they are embedding all their podcasts there. It's like having a portfolio by using the blog. And they finally start working on a podcast project. They have to develop an idea on how to use podcasting in the EFL or EFL classroom. And it's quite interesting to see all the different activities, projects, and ideas they have during the session. We really learn from them because it's amazing how each teacher was developing a different project related to his or her specific context. Let me see, let me move the other one. We were providing feedback or screencasting feedback to those that had the 50% of the content ready or developed. And they had to accomplish with the main elements. They need to have the About Me page, the podcast, and the podcast project. And they also had to create a promo for their podcasting project. They had to invite other people to visit their blogs and to know their projects. And the screencasts were really short. They just lasted 3 minutes. And we divided the number of participants. We divided the number of participants into 4 because, as I told you at the beginning, we were 4 facilitators this year: Julia Sancion, Miguel Mendoza, Miguel Perez, and I. And we were sending them the different screencast videos. We just created the videos and shared the videos with them. So some of the participants received specific information about how to improve their site, how to improve their podcast or specific feedback about their projects. We were mainly focused on the projects because we wanted to have a fair. It was like a showcase at the end of the workshop, and all their blogs links were added to our main blog, so everybody could see there what the participants did, and participants could listen to and watch the others' videos for their feedback. It was really nice to know that they really enjoyed that, because it was not only for them, but the feedback was for everybody, because when we had the opportunity to watch the others' videos, they also learned and improved their work. Well, that is all for the presentation. If you have any questions about the session or about the screencasting or podcasting, especially the screencasting methodology, you know, and what we did in the video session, well, I'm all ears. Here are our emails and blogs and Twitter handles, so you can visit our site, or we can follow each other on Twitter and continue talking about that. If you have any questions, well, I invite you.
We have two mics open. I could open another one. We haven't gotten any echo. If anyone's not wearing a headset, if you do speak, then please mute your microphone when done. But and Evelyn has released her mic, so there is another mic available. So yeah, it's really nice to hear that session. I noticed that Andy is casting. Well, he's got a Podbean embed in his blogger blog, but it's also possible. I think you were teaching people how to podcast directly from their blogger blogs. Were you not at one point? And if so, how are you doing that? How are they doing it?
Well, there is a process. We had, as I don't know if you know about the EVL sessions, I mean all the attendees today, we have a 5-week workshop. It's a hands-on workshop. And all the participants are teachers from different parts of the world, and they are working with ESL and ESL. At the beginning, during the first week, we're just providing them the different tools they have to explore and they have to get familiar with. Then we teach them how to create a podcast. They have to create their intro message. And we start providing different activities they have to follow up and they have to complete during the week. At the end of the week, they have accomplished all different activities, but we are also providing feedback through the Yahoo group. Then they have to start creating blogs. In week three, they have to create their blog, they have to create the three pages, and they have to start adding the podcast they've created with the software and also the web-based recorders. As soon as they have done that, and we've been providing feedback during the whole week, and every single day it was an immediate feedback. It was through podcasting or screencasting at the end. We were using both of the methodologies. They didn't record from their blogs. They were just embedding the podcast in their blogs. And they were visiting others' works. They had to interact with them. It was really nice because it was not only a facilitator participant direction. They were exchanging their works and they were interacting with the others. They had to visit others' works and they had to record their voices and leave them comments and feedback too. They had to embed their podcast in their blogs. And during week four, we work on the final project. They had to work on that. They had to design a project for their students. And almost on week five is when we start providing feedback with screencasting. And we have to see that the participant has accomplished more than the 50, almost 70% of their work. If they are not ready yet, we don't provide a feedback, just to those who are or who have been working. And we send the screencast in. Mm-hmm. They read others' comments, and that's great because they also learn from that. And with the screencasting, they were not only watching their videos, but also watching the others, and they were learning from others too. So that's why podcasting participants were very, very interested in the screencasting option, because although the course, the workshop was not on screencasting, they were learning how to use that at the same time. I don't know if you see what I mean. They were only working on a podcasting project, but they were receiving screencasting feedback. And they could enjoy that. They were really engaged and they really enjoyed what we were doing. Especially with tutorials at the beginning. Miguel Mendoza created different tutorials with screencasting. I also did with some of them, Jose, 2 years ago. But at the end, all of us, all the facilitators, provide feedback through screencasting. I don't know if that answered what you were asking, Vance. And the other question that Cynthia was asking about the podcasting, if my students were afraid, or I don't know what was her question about it, if they felt so ashamed. She used the word ashamed. When they were creating, or when they are creating their podcast. Yeah, sure. It's not only for students. Teachers also feel ashamed because they were not familiar with our voice. At the beginning, we really feel strange. But as soon as we start learning how to use the tool and we listen to ourselves and we improve the modulation and intonation, so it's really nice. And they really enjoy it. They really have fun when they're creating their podcast.
So the feed for the podcast is always done at Podbean or something like that, or do they actually create feeds from a blog, from a blogger blog?
Well, they have to host, when they are creating the podcast by using Audacity, they have to host the MP3 file on Podbean. we decided to use Podbean, but it may be any other one. And they just embed their podcast on their blogs. But if we are using the web-based recorders, those are the tools you can use online, so they just record there immediately, directly. They don't need any other software. And the recording is there, is available there immediately. They just share their URLs, or they embed the podcast in their blogs too. They can feed their blogs with that, but it has some limits, because if you have a free account, in the case of Podbean, sorry, I think you can use no more than 10 podcasts. You may create they call it channel, I think. I don't remember right now. But it's, they just allow you to create, I think, 10 podcasts, no more than that. If you want to create more, you need to create another account, or you just have to update your account and have the pro account to pay for that. And you may embed that the whole package. I mean, if you have recorded 3, 4, 5, up to 10 podcasts, you may embed that into your site. Maybe a website, or a blog, or a wiki. You may also use the RSS to retrieve that, but not all hosting sites allow you to do so. You might try to explore which ones are able to do so. Phil is mentioning that another tool is PhotoBabble. Yeah, I used that tool too. It's really nice because you have a picture and you can talk about the picture. You are recording your voice and describe the picture. That is what we did. Wait, let me go back to the slide here. Let me see if I find it. This is what we did with Photomatic. We asked participants to do an activity called Out My Window. And they had to take a picture of what they see out their windows at home. Or maybe at work. But most of them were talking about what they saw from their windows at home. And they were describing what they could see. And it's a way to ask students to use the adjectives, to express maybe mood, feelings. And it is an excellent way to develop speaking skills. You may also work with vocabulary and also grammar. Well, it depends on the activities you do with your students, the context you have. Yeah. Well, I'm going to share. Let me find it for you. I'm going to share the... Maybe here. I don't know if I can paste it there. No, it doesn't. Okay, I think it's there. Let me see. Well, there you are. The different blocks we created for the podcast session. You have there are some ideas on how to create the podcast. You have tutorials, and you may see and watch the different screencasts. In the last one, I mean, this year we haven't had the opportunity to embed all the different screencasts that we created because we were sharing them through the Yahoo group. But if you go to the, I think it was last year, if you go to the 2012 podcasting session, you will see all of them because we embedded them on the blog, on the main blog. So if you visit the second one, you will find them. This year, they didn't finish with that work because we were pretty busy with our own work for the university. But we shared them with the participants in the Yahoo group. So they all received the feedback. So if you have any other questions or comments, you're welcome. I don't know if they can use their microphones, Ben.
Yes, microphones are available. Microphone questions are welcome. If you can ask a question, that's great. I have one more question if no one else has one, but I'll give it still right now.
Hi, can you listen to me? So I loved the talk, Evelyn. Thanks a lot. I was wondering to listen to you. Why did you decide to focus on podcasting or on oral skill instead of writing skills? Can you tell us a little bit about this, please?
Sure, Cynthia. Well, we decided to use podcasting and screencasting because we think it's quite engaging for the students. Sometimes we have to write a lot, and if you have to provide feedback to a large group, you don't have time enough to write all what you want to say, when you want to write. But if you're speaking, it's quite easy. because it's like you are talking to that person, as if you have that person in front of you. So you can provide a detailed feedback. You give the student or the teacher all the different details or what you think about their work, the positive things you find in their work, but you also make corrections. And when you are doing that, you have the possibility of sharing that information with all students, not only with the student you are providing the feedback to, but others are listening to the same podcast or they're watching the same screencast and they're learning from that. When you are writing comments on their works, at least they shared what you did. They don't have the possibility of reading everything. But if you are sharing that online and you have a space for that, you can make it private or public, but you decide to share the feedback. They're all learning about what you are saying, what you think about your ideas, or they're learning more ideas on how to do their work because they're learning not only from the feedback you provide, but also from what the other students did. I think it's very rich. Maybe at the beginning it's not that easy for the teacher to manage the tools if it is the first time, but it's something very simple. If you are using the software, for instance, you may share the file of the student, just the MP3 file. If you want to use the web-based recording, you may share the URL, and all students go to that site and listen to what they are saying. You mean beginners? Well, I don't know if your question has to do with creating the podcast or providing the feedback to beginners. Okay, I see what you mean. Because I didn't see in your question here. You always give feedback in English. Well, in my case, it's different because I just want to clarify that this presentation is about what we did with our teachers in the EVO podcasting session. All the feedback was in English because they are all English teachers. But when we're coming to our context, I'm teaching ESP. I'm not teaching ESL. So my courses at the university are focused on reading comprehension, not on speaking or listening, even though I provide them with different resources for them to listen to the target language. But the main focus is on reading because that is the program we have at the university. And I provide feedback through podcasts in Spanish, not in English, because they don't understand. That's an issue we have there. But if you are teaching ESL or EFL, the feedback should be in English, especially for those who are in the intermediate or advanced levels. If you are speaking or sending feedback to the beginners, maybe they don't understand very well. You might provide the feedback in Spanish, but that wouldn't be the idea. You better write use other techniques. You might use a very easy language, something very easy maybe for beginners.
Okay, well, I have just one more question, and that is, let's see. Okay, just reading Phil's comment here. Well, my question is that I'm having to shift all the Learning Together materials from Postgres, where I had a podcast set up using FeedBurner, and it's all going over to WordPress, which is, at the moment, it's not podcasting anything, but I was just wondering if you had a recommendation for how I could podcast recordings actually uploaded to a WordPress blog. Would you still recommend FeedBurner, or is there any other technique I should consider?
Well, you know, working with WordPress is not that easy if you have a free account. But they have I've read, because I don't have the software. But what I've seen is that they have to pay for the service to upload the podcast. I don't know if the FeedBurner is working with that, because we're not using it for our podcasting session. They just can retrieve that from other sources. I guess with Blogger is working. I'm not sure if the fifth grader is not working anymore. I think it's until July. I don't know if there is any other one that he can use. I'm not sure I can help you with that, but I can find it out. But with WordPress, if you have a free account, you cannot embed, for instance, or you can retrieve just with the RSS bottom. That's what you can do.
Okay. Well, actually, I had to pay for it because we have more than, you get 3 gigabytes, I guess, of data with a free account, and I needed much more than that. So I bought it, but in any event, that's just to keep you up to date. Posterous is finishing on the 30th of April, and so, but I've got everything saved, I think. I've got the audio downloaded. It's either on my computer or it's still working as linked to Posterous. But I'm going to have to actually, I think all the audio is uploaded to WordPress, or it's on my computer, one or the other. But anyway, I'll get it all up at WordPress. And it's quite easy to link to the audio within the WordPress blog itself. But as far as making it a podcast, that's really what I was thinking ahead to. But given the short amount of time that we had to work with Posterous, really only a couple of months, I just need, and I have more than one Posterous blog, so I just needed to get something that would pull the material in and actually reconstruct the blog posts, and WordPress did well for that. So anyhow, it's at learningtogether.net.com. I'm sorry, it's learningtogether.net. So learning together with a 2.net. I'll put the link in the chat. So okay, well, we've had Evelyn now for an hour and a quarter, so I don't know if you need to go and take care of the Sunday.
Excuse me, Ben. I just wanted to add something else. And I just wanted to see that all the recordings are available on the wiki, the Learning Together wiki. And I'd like to share, I don't have it here at hand, but I need to send it to you so you can share it there. We have this presentation is on SlideShare, and we also have a handout we delivered at TISO this year. So you can download the handout from the site and share the SlideShare too. And if you have any other questions, you have our Twitter handles or our emails, and you can contact us if you have any other questions. So thank you very much. It's 10:15 in Caracas. I say goodbye. Thank you very much, Vance, for your invitation. And thank you, Cynthia, Phil, Claire, and Elizabeth that was here at the beginning. Thank you very much for your participation today. Thank you, Vance.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Evelyn, and I'm sorry that Miguel couldn't join us. But anyway, you guys are doing really great work, and it's nice to hear from you every now and then. And I hope we get other people in the audience to contribute. We have actually next Friday, Shelley Terrell is going to join us. And I don't know if anybody here is participating in LT MOOC, but I was thinking about having them, seeing if I could set up a webcast of a hangout for them. But anyway, I'm not sure how interested. Yeah, on Friday, Shelley, that's right, Claire is asking, on Friday? Yes. It's at Learning Together. You can go to the Learning Together wiki. All the events are set up in the wiki because I can share that space. So, for example, Evelyn can go there and put the link to the SlideShare and to the into the handout download, so you can just go right on the wiki if you want. And but once it gets put over to Learning Together, it gets deleted from the wiki, and then you can just go to learningtogether.net. So I'll make a recording, an MP3 from the Illuminate, which I can do using the Illuminate Publish, which is now a free download. So so much largesse, so much free stuff is still there, even though we're losing some things, we're still keeping ourselves afloat. But anyway, thank you, Evelyn. We really appreciate your giving your time on Sunday morning to come and share with us. And thanks to Miguel, too. I know he's done a lot of hard work on this. And so, and Shelley, it's like about 2 p.m., 2 a.m. my time. Oh, wow, is it? I'm going to have to get up, stay up for it, I guess, next weekend. But anyway, that's the last event we really have scheduled. I've got to go beat the bushes for more. So if you know if anybody wants to contribute to Learning Together, we certainly like to keep this project going week after week. So thank you very much, everybody. And I'm going to shut my mic off. I seem to have lost my mouse. Anyway, there's another mic available. I keep losing my mouse for some reason or other. The way this works when, and thanks for the references. By the way, I put those references at the learningtogether.pbworks.com. I put them at that site. I hope it's okay. I just pasted them right there on the site. Evelyn is just scrolling through the slides right now and showing us some of those references. And once she posts her slides to slideshare.net, you'll be able to go to the SlideShare, click on the links, pursue them there, or probably find them in the notes. SlideShare is really good about all that. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Evelyn. Looks like everyone's gone while I was nattering on there. So thanks a lot for making the recording for us. And bye-bye. And any last words, go ahead. And if I don't hear from you, I'll shit. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.